Okay, good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday, November 6th, 2024 meeting of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. We have a roll call.
Director Linda Austin.
Here.
Director Karen Ray Russin.
Here.
Director Karen Bright.
Here.
If you all please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you very much. Agenda review, is there anything we want to...
Not on my end.
Nope.
Nope, okay, then we'll move on to public comment for items not on the agenda. I see no one here, so we will move on from that to our consent agenda. Item 5, 5A, approval of warrants, and 5B, approval of the minutes of October 2nd. Is there any discussion on the warrants or the minutes?
No questions.
No, not
okay, is there any public comments? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve 5A and B.
Excuse me, there's one minor correction that I'd like to point out on the minutes. Where it refers to Director Ray Austin, that has been corrected.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
So that has been corrected, but I just wanted to point that out.
We do share our brains sometimes.
Yeah. The second was Director Ray. Okay, so that's been corrected.
Okay, so with corrections then.
With the corrections then. Okay.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Let's see, we'll move on now to our action items. So 6A is adoption of a resolution granting cost of living adjustments and modifications to the Memorandum of Understanding between the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District and Service Employees International Union Local 620. Is there any staff report?
Yeah. Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. So the item before you is the result of our third negotiation with Service Employees International, who represents the operators at the wastewater treatment plant. So this item will achieve a three-year labor peace. Which is we just came out of a three-year contract on SEIU. And so this has been open since July 1st of 2024. And to summarize the MOU, the new contract, so on the salary side, the employees will be receiving 3% in 2024, 4% in 2025, and then again 4% in 2026. Currently, the district offers a healthcare spending account that we fund at the amount of $600 annually for the employees, and that has been negotiated up to $750 annually. Our operator standby pay, we have operators that are on standby 24/7 in case an alarm goes as part of the process at the plant, and we've raised that from $375 an hour for the standby up to $5 an hour. And then those standby people have a backup standby person, and they get paid currently a dollar an hour, and it's increased to $1.50 an hour as part of this contract. We also revised in the MOU the new lab director position that was previously approved by the board. We clarified the vacation table. It was repetitive in the way that it was set up, and so we've clarified and simplified that at the request of the union. A year-end payment. So this MOU agrees to pay each covered employee $1,000 in December of 2024, and again $1,000 in 2025. They've also negotiated a boot allowance increase from $250 a year to $275 a year in order to purchase that protective the PPE that they need to operate safely. And then the step increase table in staying competitive with the county, what we've done is adopted a six-step process for salary increases. It was previously a five-step. And so employees that work at the district, as they progress, they will move through those six steps in the salary schedule. And so staff's recommending that the board adopt resolution 2024-453 and attachment exhibit A, which defines the compensation package represented by SEIU. And that concludes my staff report.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or questions?
I have a question. Okay. Please. Can you explain what the year-end payment is? That's something that's new to me.
Yeah, so that is new. It's something that came. It's basically a bonus is what it amounts to. So it's a one-time $1,000 payment. And that was used toward the end of negotiations to kind of wrap up and close negotiations. And the reason that the one-time payment, there's savings to the district to encourage that the closure of the MOU negotiations without adding long-term costs to retirement benefits and ongoing costs to salary. There are some unique benefits to using the one-time payment. And so that was in discussions with the union, and then in subsequent discussions with the board, we decided that that was a method to get, reach agreement.
Rather than it like being on PERS and that sort of thing.
Correct. If it was part of the salary, then it becomes pensionable under PERS, and you have those continuous costs that will last well beyond the 2 years of these two salary bumps.
Very good. Thank you.
Yep.
Nothing else? No public comment. There's no public here for public comments, so I'll bring it back and... Somebody wants to make a motion?
Madam Chair, I think this definitely shows clearly board direction prior, so I would like to recommend that we adopt Resolution 2024-453 and Attachment Exhibit A as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay. Can we have a roll call, please?
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. 6B, adoption of a resolution granting cost of living adjustments and benefits for non-represented employees.
So good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. And so the item before you is the adoption of a resolution granting cost of living adjustments and benefits for non-represented employees. The previous item was for the SEIU represented employees. And at the district, we have... eight positions that are covered by SEIU and two positions that are non-represented, and then one executive management position. So those are the three different categories. And so the item before you is for the non-represented, and it's recommended that you adopt resolution 2024-454 granting cost of living adjustments and modifications and benefits for non-represented full-time employees as illustrated in Exhibit A. So it's some similar increases. The non-represented employees are recommended to receive a salary increase of 3% starting in July, retroactive to July of 2024. The medical trust, the healthcare spending account, currently the district funds $600, and we're recommending that the board increase that to $750. And then also providing the year-end payment of $1,000 to the non-represented employees. And I will note that this is, SEIU is a three-year term, but the non-rep is set up as a one-year term. We're certainly not supposed to use labor negotiations to negotiate on behalf of all the other employees. And so I brought this forward, and we typically bring this resolution forward with each budget cycle. So in July, what you'll see is we won't bring something back from SEIU, but we'll bring this back, and it'll show that $1,000 request for 2025. And the intent is to continue the same type of benefits for the non-rep, but they're just not all captured in a three-year type term. Just to provide some clarification on why there's some difference there. And then again, adding the six-step salary structure that I referred to in SEIU, where over 6 years employees get step increases rather than just over 5 years. And with that, it concludes my staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
I have one, please. Why don't you go with a multi-year contract with non-represented?
I guess it was more my decision that I didn't feel like I negotiated a 3 year with the non-rep. It felt like it was the appropriate way to handle it, I guess, and that's why I chose to do it that way without any definite direction.
Okay. I was just wondering. Thank you.
We're all good. Then there's no one in the audience for public comment. So I'll bring it back and ask if we can get a motion.
I'll make that motion adopt resolution granting cost of living adjustments and benefits for non-represented employees. Resolution number 2024-454. And Exhibit A.
All right. I'll second that.
Okay. We have a roll call, please.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
And now that we come to 6C, adoption of a resolution approving a publicly available pay schedule as required by California Public Employees Retirement System, CalPERS, regulations, Exhibit A.
So, In conjunction with the salary changes from the previous two items, CalPERS requires public agencies to adopt a publicly available pay schedule. And so I will note, back to the three-year discussion, the recommendation that you see on the agenda states adopt a three-year salary schedule. And we caught that because only one of them is a three-year salary schedule and one's a one-year. So we've corrected that on the agenda. So the recommendation on the agenda should read, adopt a resolution, which it's correct on the staff report here in front of you. Adopt resolution 2024-455, adopting a publicly available pay schedule for fiscal year 24-25 in accordance with California Public Employees Retirement System regulations. And that's attached in Exhibit A. There's no fiscal impact associated with publishing the attached document, and that actually completes my staff report.
All right, thank you. Any questions?
I just have a question based on what you just said. So are we just going to do this again next year and the next year?
Yeah, and I think the intent is as the salary schedule changes, it's a short board item to bring it back and show those updates.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
No, thank you.
We're all good. Okay. There's no public for comment. Oh.
Sorry, I'm having sore
throat.
So
I'll entertain a motion on item 6C.
Madam Chair, I will move that we adopt resolution 2024-455, adopting a publicly available pay schedule for the fiscal year 24-25 in accordance with California Public Employees Retirement System Regulations, Exhibit A.
And I'll second that.
May we have a roll call, please?
Director Karen Ray Russell?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, then we'll move on to 6D, adoption of a resolution declaring the intention to reimburse expenditures for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project from proceeds of tax-exempt obligations.
Good evening, Jeremy Gent, District Administrator. So the item before you is a request to approve Resolution 24-456, declaring the intention to reimburse expenditures for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project from proceeds of tax-exempt obligations. And I'll pause right there and say this is purely precautionary. How this came to be an item was Ms. Shields from MKN and I As part of the secondary clarifier number two repair and that damage, we reached out to our bond counsel and said, hey, is there anything we should be looking out for as this funding's drawn out, like anything we should be aware of? And largely there were no concerns. But one of the things that did come up was, like, they said, well, if this gets prolonged longer and you actually end up having to borrow any additional funds to complete this construction, you need to have adopted a resolution prior to that that declares that that new borrowed money would be tax exempt under municipal law, where we can have tax exempt financing. And so what this resolution does is really establishes, if we have to borrow more money for redundancy, we'll issue it as tax-exempt bonds, and this makes that proper by adopting this. But at this point, the district has no intention of borrowing additional funding and has identified no need for borrowing additional funding to complete the project. And so with legal counsel and bond counsel's recommendation, we brought this item forward as a precautionary item, and so we're recommending signing this resolution. And so that completes my staff report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions? No questions. Great. Okay. So we'll I see no public comment, no public in the audience. So we can bring it back for a motion.
I just have a quick comment. I just want to say thank you for being ahead of the game. And, you know, like you said, hopefully we won't have to use this, but if we do, we don't have to scramble. So I appreciate you doing that ahead of time. So with that, I will move that we approve Resolution 2024-456, declaring the intention to reimburse expenditures for the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project from proceeds of tax-exempt obligations.
Oh, I'll second that, yes.
All right. Can we have a roll call, Amy, please?
Director Karen Ray Russin?
Yes.
Director Linda Austin?
Yes.
Director Karen Bright?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Now that will bring us to District Administrator and Plant Operations Report.
Good evening, ladies of the board. Michael Jones, Plant Superintendent. I'll be presenting the Plant Operations Report portion of this report. During the reporting period of October 1st through October 31st, the district had no violations of its NPDES permit to report. All process values were well within permit limitations, as shown in our monthly plant data table for October 24. Operation staff completed a multitude of operations and maintenance tasks. In addition, we've completed quite a few work orders. Some training that staff participated in was in anger, violence, and conflict in the workplace, and hand and power tool safety. Additionally, operations staff participated in demonstration of capabilities in the district laboratory. We did have one call out during this reporting period, and that occurred on October 24th at 5:30 a.m., and that was due to a motion alarm. Operations staff responded and inspected the treatment facility. There were no signs of entry, and motion alarm may have been due to a rodent or insect. Just a quick update on 2024 exceedances. We have no new exceedances, and we have three exceedances due to be expired in January 2025. Some updates on some ongoing projects. We have the emergency bypass pumping pad. That installation is ongoing currently. Scheduled completion is December 2024. District operations staff continued their work on the installation of a new concrete pad for the district's new emergency bypass pump. This project consists of demo and removal of asphalt, a 3-foot deep excavation, backfill and compaction of base, trenching, installation of concrete forms and rebar, concrete pouring and finishing, installation of asphalt, final placement of the emergency bypass pump, and installation of new suction and discharge piping. District operator Justin Music is the project lead, and with assistance from the district operations staff and local subcontractors, expecting the completion of the full project in early December 2024. And I've included some photos of that project. And with that concludes my report. and I'm able to answer the question. Any questions the board may have?
I have a quick question. What is the demonstration of capabilities? Is it just like the, this is the awesome stuff we can do, or is that a little more technical than
it's
that?
It's a little more technical. Basically, our operations staff train in the lab and basically have to show that they can perform the analysis to adequate levels in order to be able to report those values. So it's just basically demonstrating your abilities.
Rather than the abilities of the lab itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
No questions. I have a comment, though.
Okay.
I really do appreciate the training that you provide to the employees. I think that is so important, and I'm really pleased to see that there is no shortage of that here. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Jones.
Thanks.
That'll bring us to, now you're going to give the district administrator?
Yeah, I have a brief administrator's report.
Okay.
So on the redundancy project, it's similar to last month. So the contractor is currently pouring the replacement slab in the bottom of the damaged secondary clarifier. And so that work is largely on schedule, and we still expect completion on the 30th of next month. And then staff will begin the 45-day startup period, and I think I mentioned that before, that we will be in 24/7 operation, so the plant, rather than being staffed 5 days a week with a single operator on the weekend, we will have at least two operators on staff on-site around the clock for 6 weeks, and that's to stand up the new biology. I think I talked a little bit about that at the last meeting. As we start to feed the new biology, we need to monitor and test it continuously so that it doesn't die on us, and we get it fully established to turn the plant fully on. Cogeneration project, we had a design team meeting on the 22nd. The project team provided updated costs, and now the team is looking at value or cost savings opportunities, and I intend to bring a more thorough update on that project to the December meeting. There are some cost concerns on that, and so I want to go over those. And it's problematic, and I'm not ready to state it yet, but that project may not have an economic viable outcome based on cost increases that we're seeing, and that's why we've sent them back to look at cost saving opportunities to reduce the size to see if we can get back to a payback period that's reasonable and that the ratepayers could actually receive value from moving forward with that cogeneration project. And just an update, just a reminder on what cogeneration is. The plant produces methane gas from our digesters, and we can basically plumb that gas into a generator and generate heat and electricity to offset some of the costs at the plant. But the project costs, the update at 30% design is substantial. And so at that new number, it's kind of a no-go. Miscellaneous items, I provided an overview of the sanitation district and our current efforts to the OCSD back on October 9th. I think largely that went well and was well received by their board and the attendees. We're currently recruiting for a lab director. That position closed on, I believe, Friday. Yeah.
Can we get candidates?
What's that? Yeah, we have some candidates.
Okay.
And then some tentative items. We have an update to our personnel policy manual, and that's largely to incorporate some of the MOU changes. Some of that language is duplicitous into the PPM. And so we'll be bringing forward that update.
Duplicitous or duplicative?
Duplicative.
Okay. Because duplicitous made my alarms go off.
Maybe I definitely used the wrong word.
Okay.
And that concludes my administrator's report.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there any comments or...
Not as in our duplicitous manual.
That's not a pretty word, is it?
All righty. Well,
he's looking it up right now.
Okay, do we have any board member communications?
No.
That'll bring us to our closed session then. We have a public employee performance evaluation of the district administrator. So there's no public for comment, so I guess we will adjourn to closed session.